This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. I have a very special guest today, Dr. Lou Bayer, who's an author, speaker, entrepreneur, and the world's foremost expert on civility. Many years ago, she made a personal and professional commitment to choose civility every day. For 22 years, Dr. Lou Bayer has been internationally recognized as a leading civility expert. Dr. Bayer, I am so thrilled to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I can't wait to dive in and learn more about civility. But before we do, and I think you might end up answering a lot of my questions, I want to know the why behind it. What inspired you to become a civility expert?
So I think maybe it was in my blood and in my childhood, and I didn't even realize it until I was a working adult. You know, in hindsight, we grew up in a pretty strict home. My mother, everything was perfect. She really believed in serving others and hospitality and, you know, setting a beautiful table, some of those kind of typical, what we'd call old fashioned etiquette rules now. You know, I would never seen potato chips in a bag. You know, there was always a bowl, for example. So that was my experience growing up, but I didn't understand that as civility. And then when I was older, after my first degree, I came to Manitoba, where I am now, to do a master's degree, and had to work while I was going to school. And I was director of operations at a hotel chain. And people, when they're on vacation, sadly, behave badly. You know, they just aren't very respectful sometimes of other guests or of service staff or of the property, of people's time, those kind of things. And so it was in that work experience that I realized most people really don't know what the expectations are for social behavior. They don't know the difference between manners and civility. And for the record, civility is significantly more important. I know lots of people who are Martha Stewart perfect, who follow all the rules, but I do not want to be in their company because they are not kind, authentic, you know, truly humble or humankind in the way they treat other people. So I think the aha moment for me was, wow, you know, I thought maybe I was hypersensitive because of my upbringing. But the fact is, most people are not comfortable in social settings with rules. They don't know what's expected. They would do better if they knew better. But nobody wants to hold other people accountable. So we have some bad habits and we just let people do what they want and stay angry. And you know, I quit my job there and started the company, and it's been now close to 25 years, and never a dull moment, right? Never a dull moment.
Wow, that's pretty inspiring. Now, what type of degrees do you have in order? I mean, I do see it here. If you can just kind of walk us through, I want the listeners to know as well.
So I started out at University of McGill in social psych, and then I did a master's program in psychology. And then over the last 20 years, I've done quite a bit of work with a company called Aegis Trust, which is a peace and humanity group out of UK and Rwanda. I did quite a bit of work with an initiative called Golden Rule Civility, you know, just many, many years kind of community civility and doing that hard work. And I was granted an honorary doctorate in social justice, which is, so now I have the privilege in my area of expertise, my field, to be Dr. Lou, and it's really a tremendous compliment for field work, really. But I have all kinds of other, I'm a continuous learner. So all the people in our umbrella, we have 500 affiliates in 47 countries now, and they all are master certified civility trainers. We wrote a program with ICTC, the international governing body. You know, I have various communications credentials, different relational social intelligence, you know, probably I think on the list 16 or 17 credentials related to civility specifically. So civility looks different in every situation because the context changes and the people changes. So you can never know enough culture is a big part of it. So I feel like I know this much of, you know, so much to learn. So it's that part of the work is actually the most enjoyable part. The ongoing learning and education. Every day I wake up grateful to meet somebody new, to learn something new, and to somehow persuade people to treat people better. It's my personal mission.
I want to talk about your company, Civility Experts, which you, you know, I'm so impressed by everything, the training solutions, just everything. Tell us a little bit about what type of services do you provide? What type of training do you provide? And who do you serve? Like, who are your ideal clients?
Sure. So the company's grown a lot over 25 years. And the primary, that head, you know, the parent company is Civility Experts. And we do corporate training. About 80% of our time is corporate training, Fortune 500 and large organizations. And about 20% is training trainers. So certifying civility at work trainers, because there's a huge demand. I'm in Canada, and for Canada, at least, I know other couple of other countries too. I don't know about US. Our government suggests that by 2030, every organization will have a civility officer in addition to an HR team, because people just don't know how to navigate cultural differences and language barriers, gender variants. They don't know how to talk to each other. COVID did not help, but we live in a time of rapid change. And if we can't collaborate well and be civil to each other, it's going to be very hard to thrive, never mind survive in the new world of work. So predominantly corporate training. We have a whole division called In Good Company Etiquette Academy, though, with 50 licensees all over the world. And that's our children, youth, and training division. So we teach social confidence, social etiquette, everything from tea etiquette to dining etiquette, you know, social graces under that division. We have a high style image division, because the way you present yourself, and clearly, you know, I've so admired the work that you do too, and the way you present on camera and make people feel instantly comfortable. It's not an easy skill. And I think, you know, it's a real gift, but we teach some of that in our division called High Style Impression Management, because it doesn't matter how well behaved you are in the world today. If you don't present well, if you don't dress appropriately, if you don't know, you know, that hairstyle that you happen to like so much is 1962, you know, unfortunately, people judge us. And if we can get past that initial judgment by presenting well, then people will listen often. And that's a critical piece. So we have that division. We have a publishing arm. We have a not-for-profit arm called Civility Center, a certification body, ICTC. We have a speakers bureau. You know, the company's, you know, multifaceted now. We've been around for almost 25 years.
Wow, you are such an inspiration. I have to tell you, I'm just like, I can't keep up. I'm like, wait, I'm writing this down. We have a non-profit. How do you balance work and life? This is a question that I hardly ever ask on my show, but I am going to ask, because you're gorgeous, first of all. Second of all, you look so young to accomplish all these things and to have built a company that's 25 years old. So I just want to get a few pointers as to how do you do it?
Thank you. You know, I learned early on, I think kind of the hinge or the turning point for me about 5 years into the business was, I think it was Arianna Huffington. I read a book, and there was something about, I'm sure it was her, but it might have been somebody else, that incidentally, her books were really good inspiration to me, but that you can have everything, you just can't have it all at once. And, you know, so at an early age, I realized that, you know, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some collaborators. I'm not going to be able to micromanage and be perfect. Sometimes the dishes are going to stay on the counter for 2 days. And, you know, some days I'm going to be 10 minutes late for a meeting, but I'm going to rely on the competence and the kindness of a team that, you know, I learn from every day. And you know, we're kind of the mutual admiration society. And, you know, obviously I had a really supportive family as well. I have one daughter who's beautiful and brilliant, and I think made it through the worst part of it, because as a working mom, it, you know, it, and it working dads too, it's not easy to balance, but I feel like the work was really critical to my being a good parent. The work was critical to my being a good spouse and a good friend. And honestly, I couldn't ask for a better team. There's, you know, people who like this kind of work, our 500 affiliates around the world. They're all good, decent people of character who, you know, we help each other and we've all grown exponentially as a result.
I would love to learn the mindset behind something that you mentioned earlier. You said, I realized that I cannot do it alone. And that I have to sometimes let go of perfection. You know, can you talk a little bit more about that? And I specifically want to share this with our listeners, because I think a lot of people, when they're starting out a company, a lot of them just micromanage things and hold on to everything, and they just want to do everything, but then they want to scale and they want to grow. And my suggestion is usually you got to let go. You cannot micromanage things. You have to look at everything from a macro level, but you also have to be okay with imperfection. You have to be okay with things just not being perfect. But the number one thing is you have to know that you cannot do it alone. I would love your thoughts on that. What other advice can you give to our listeners who are really struggling to?
Yes. So I think the thing for me was that I realized I wanted, you know, a certain thing. I had a vision, you know, this idea of what things were going to be like, but that I had to make a decision. You know, here's the top 10 things I'm striving for. Pick three that are deal breakers. You know, what's the hill you're going to die on, right? So three things that I absolutely could not relinquish my standard on, without feeling like I was an imposter or lacking in integrity. And then the other ones I opted to delegate out. So things like a website for me, the technical skills to keep up with that, for it to be perfect. I just had to let that go, even though it's a big part of your impression and your you know, public image, you know, just as one example. But I had to pick out of the top 10 things that I felt strongly about, what are the three that I absolutely need to keep control of? And one of them was, you know, the top one for me was the content, the messaging. So I wanted everyone to know what I stand for, that comes through in the message. If there's a typo on the website, I can live with that. But if they think that I have a viewpoint that is actually not true to my character, I couldn't live with that. So you just have to make some hard choices. And then also I found it was a real struggle to balance in the beginning. There are so many voices. At one point, I think about 2 years in, I stopped taking courses for a while. I stopped going to networking and chamber of commerce meetings. I stopped reading other people's books because there's so much clutter and so much noise. I stopped soliciting opinions. When I would deliver training, I stopped getting those feedback forms that sometimes make you cry. And I felt like you're just going to do. Sorry, can you hear me? If it's meant to work, it's going to work. And otherwise, you'll make mistakes and learn something and move on. As we were kind of discussing, the game changer for me was when I realized about a year and a half or 2 years in, I needed to stop listening to everybody else, stop soliciting opinions, stop gathering feedback at training just for a while, stop reading everybody else's books and blogs, you know, stop worrying about what my so-called competitors were doing and just stay in my lane, listen to my heart, do my very best, and, you know, kind of just focus on me and my vision and mission, because it's true, there's a lot of experts and a lot of help, but I balanced it by giving an ear to the people like the IT people, you know, that was something I needed, but not my passion or my lane. I stopped listening to viewpoint, to people who I felt we didn't have a value share. They didn't really understand what I was trying to do. There's a lot of well-intentioned people who can throw you off track. Loved ones and family, close friends included, right? And these days, I'm sure you've experienced this, everybody seems to be a coach or an expert, or, you know, professes to know more than the next person. And you have to be very careful who you listen to. Yeah.
I love that. I really love that. I think this message could not have been shared at a better moment. And it's touching me personally too. So thank you. Thank you so much for that advice. Tell me one thing. I know this is not a fair question because one thing is not, it might be hard for you to choose one thing, but if you could share just one thing that you figured out through your journey as you were building Civility Experts, one thing that helped you take the business to the next level.
It was a hard lesson to learn and took a bit of courage that I didn't know I had. But the thing that helped me was realizing that sometimes I would have to decline business. I would have to fire clients. I would have to say no. You know, people would want training just for the sake of training to put a, you know, we care about civility badge, but at the same time, they weren't paying women the same as they were paying men. You know, that there's, so I had to make some difficult choices about the kind of work I was going to do. It couldn't just be about the money. And there were months where that really hurt and, you know, impacted my family. But I think in the long run, you know, it really paid off. I am absolutely clear who I am and what I'm doing. And I never worry now about the choices. You trust your instinct and find the courage. And that was very hard for me, though. It took about 10 years to figure that out, that if you do it for the money, it's not always going to work, right?
I do agree. I've gone through that phase too with my marketing agency, where I realized I use the 80-20 rule, because I realized that, you know, the 20% of my good clients tend to generate the happy money. I call it the happy money, because the money that they give me is just so happy, and it's worth so much more to me than the money that I'm getting from the people that are just driving us crazy. So I love that advice too. Thank you for sharing that. One more question about Civility Experts. So if our listeners are, if some of them are at a startup stage where they're developing their corporate culture, what advice do you have for them in terms of keeping civility in mind? And a lot of, I'm based in Los Angeles, so a lot of the startups that I come across have multicultural workforce. And they have to build this culture that can be open and understand all these different cultures and accept every one of them. But it's challenging. It's challenging as a founder, it's challenging as sometimes a manager or an HR person. What advice?
Of two things, I think the first thing, and we do this in our affiliate training, is be clear about your expectations. You know, say what you mean. If you really want people there at 8 a.m., say, you have to be here at 8 a.m. You can leave whatever, you just have to be clear. I think we're really kind of tiptoe around our expectations, and people are caught off guard. They're second guessing. They're filling in the blanks themselves, where we don't often say what we mean anymore. And I think we need to. That's the first one. And the second one is treat people well. You know, I think that at the onset, when you start a business, you know, figure out what's a fair wage and pay it. Figure out what's fair in terms of breaks and workloads and honor it. Figure out, you know, what are the expectations in the line, and treat everybody the same in that regard. You know, I think oftentimes we're so focused on the policies and the processes that we forget that the people that are going to build the business, that they will work hard for you if they trust you and you're consistent in people treatment. You know, you can't be kind to the frontline people and then don't give them bonuses, but the executives get bonuses. You know, I think we have this odd way of treating people that is unbalanced. And I think it's critical. You know, if you say hello to one, say hello to the other. If you're going to treat someone to lunch, treat the whole team to lunch. You know, you have to be consistent.
Thank you. Thank you. That's great advice. How can the listeners learn more about you, everything that you're offering? Where can they go to reach you and to learn more?
Thank you. Civilityexperts.com. There's links there for everything from YouTube channel to free eBooks to resources. And I'm Lou, Bayer like the aspirin. If they Google me, reach out to me directly. I'm happy to help however I can.
And I have all these interesting questions that, like, I'm just so inspired by what you do. One more question. What advice do you have for women like myself, a mother of three, running two companies, and getting in the space? I'm experiencing exactly what you mentioned earlier, where things are getting very noisy outside.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm starting to say no, and I'm starting to just block out everything. And I'm realizing that all these books that I'm reading, all these things that I'm educating myself on, I'm losing my inner voice. I'm losing the ability to listen to my inner voice. So that's other than saying no and just stopping, is there anything else? Just a few tips that you can share take advice on.
So it's really quite incredible. I wish we had hours to talk, because you just said a couple of things that, like, now my personal philosophy and what I'm teaching my daughter is to try to cycle it. Like, you got to live a little. So stop building for a moment, just maintain, enjoy your family, take care of your health. And then you have to take some time to learn, which you mentioned, right? You know, this reading and whatever, and then a little time to listen. So, you know, listen to your customers, listen to your clients, like this kind of cycling thing. So I try to set aside at least one day a month that I call living, where, you know, I just don't turn the computer on. You know, one day a month, like, it doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot, as you know, when you're juggling to carve out, you know, a whole 24 hours, even once a month, where you're just quiet and resting and regrouping. It's difficult to do. And then I try to pick one day a month that is all just learning, whatever online course I need to catch up on, whatever books I need to, whatever, you know, documentaries I need to cram into my head. But I set aside, deliberately schedule it so that the rest of the month I don't feel pressured. Oh, I should learn something today. I should read something, right? And then a little time to listen. So I schedule once a month. I have a couple of mentors. I have, you know, a couple trusted colleagues and friends. And that day of the month, I make sure to call one or three of them. I have lunch with them. I fly to meet one of them. You know, I just have to be deliberate about that, kind of those three pieces. And then in doing that, it takes pressure off the rest of the time when I'm actually having to just juggle things and get the work done and 300 emails and, you know, prep a speech and get on the plane, right? So I feel like it helps me keep control a little bit of at least my mental health, right? Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing all the wisdom, and thank you for doing what you're doing. I'm so inspired by your work, and you are an inspiration, not just to myself, hopefully to all the women out there who are mothers and they're trying to figure out how to help contribute to this society. Thank you for being such a big contributor to our society, and I hope to have you back again and learn more about civility. Thank you.
Thank you. It's really been a privilege. I wish you all the best, and thank you so much. It was really a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.